Welcome to the Minovate Gang podcast for Saturday, November 22nd, 2008. On is Phil Wilson.
Hello, how are you this morning?
Good. Graham Thickens.
Hello.
Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Gary Van Buren.
Hi, guys.
And I'm Steve Borsch. And today we are going to chat about a topic that is probably way too big for, you know, a short podcast, but the social media space. We kind of kicked around some ideas on this in terms of what it would be. And I kind of went in the analytics way and the CRM way. And all we know is everyone seems to be leaping on it. You guys were just at that social media breakfast with Jeff Pulver at Best Buy. Mm-hmm. And who was that? Now, Tim, you were there. Phil, you were there. And Graham?
Yep.
And I was there, too.
And how was it?
It was a great networking event. It was not the social media breakfast, as I pointed out in the article. It's not the social media breakfast we've come to expect by any means. It was really more of a networking, which I think was a nice opportunity to meet with folks that we, you know, sometimes we get to the social media breakfast and we sit in our spot and we talk to the folks around us, but don't know the other people on the other side of the room. And it was a real good opportunity to meet some people and spend a little more time chatting and also. We attracted some different people. It was sponsored by Best Buy, so I think there was more Best Buy participation. I thought it was a nice networking event.
Yeah, it was more like a church social, I was telling someone, you know, putting those name tags on and then the little tag clouds with the little stickers. When I first read about that, I thought, oh, this sounds like it's going to be boring as heck, but it was actually quite fun.
It was very fun. I think I used probably rougher language than a social, a church social, but it was fun.
No, I thought that Jeff's remarks were really, really interesting, though.
Yeah, what did he cover? What was the essence of his talk?
Well, he kind of brought threads from his kind of past, and you know, connected the old conversation with kind of what's happening now, and that we're just using different tools. So it was unexpected. I didn't really, you know, think he was going to speak because he's never done it before at one of these things. And he stood up and for, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes really held the room and had a great message.
I guess I missed that, Tim. I thought it was nice having him speak, but I felt more, I was getting more bio than really any, you know, earth shattering, message, but you know, that could have been my point of view.
Yeah, I had somebody else say they didn't really get his gig, you know, they didn't really understand what he's up to. And I said, well, did you read his bio on Twitter? I mean, he's a technology anthropologist. So
I thought that was great.
I'm not sure I know what that means, but he's a, you know, he's an entrepreneur and he's an early stage seed investor, and just kind of goes around doing these breakfasts, I suppose, for his next investment idea or something. And he is very well connected and has been very successful in his past entrepreneurial life. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that it's quite an inspiring story, you know, it's nice to have somebody of such standing in the social community there, and that's not to take away from the experience I had, because I had a great experience. In fact, stayed well past the end of it. I think you did too, Graham. We just kind of hung out and chatted, it was a really good experience. And that's not to say that. I just wasn't necessarily moved by or as inspired by Jeff's message as some other messages I've heard. But that's, again, not to say that it was a bad thing.
Right. And he wasn't there to speak and spew his message, really. And I was a little bit surprised that he rambled on as long as he did. It was more like 20 minutes, it seemed like to me. And then I couldn't hear very well what he was saying. Somebody videoed it, though. I think Mike Kelleher did.
Mike Kelleher, yeah, and I posted on site.
I put Mike's video up, yeah.
It was, the thing was that I was kind of intrigued by the preparation and then the execution of it, you know, beyond which you have to give, Jeff credit for, beyond the regular networking event, this opportunity to, you know, he fed everybody who was invited the group a video, just a short video that explained his personal tagging toolkit. And that was interesting to watch. And then my first thought was when I saw that was, I wonder how this is going to play with the social media types. And it was, I think we all feel like, you know, there's safety at your keyboard. It's a little less, you can be social without necessarily being overly intimate. So I was kind of curious to see how this would play out with those social types. And I think it played out very well. I everybody was having a great time with the tagging. And I think that really in and of itself is what really made that networking event better than so many other networking events I've been to.
Yeah, it's about people, you know, and anything that can get you away from the keyboard for a while is a good thing, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was fun. And I got a kick out of in the beginning how he had to say, now watch out, ladies, where you put that
yeah.
handbag. For your little stickers. You want to put it in a part where you're comfortable with people sticking on their little tags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of funny.
Cute.
But yeah, it was an interesting departure from the SMBs that we've kind of grown accustomed to.
So why do you think the sponsorship by Best Buy to bring him in?
I found out about how that happened. Michelle Azar met him in Israel at a conference. And apparently struck up a conversation and found out he'd never been to Minneapolis. And she, being the innovator that she is, she's a VP at Best Buy in charge of some of the new initiatives opening up their catalog, for example, the Remix initiative that they're doing. And I think she just invited him to come and talk to the folks at Best Buy, and somehow she connected with Rick Mann, who organizes our social media breakfast, and they said, well, heck yes, let's make him a guest at our next SMB event, and it happened in a very short order. I think just over the last month or so, they put this together.
So did he get into anything around tools? And the reason I'm asking the question is I know when I sent you guys an email about what we might talk about on this particular show with respect to social media, I kind of took it from a CRM, campaign management, analytics, tools perspective. And Phil, you were the one that said, oh, that'll make an entertaining show.
scintillating conversation.
Yes. But here's wait a minute though. Okay. But here's my point of, about doing that is
favorite Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yesterday is, every time I walk past a meeting room, a meeting with people staring at a Excel spreadsheet and a projector, I think, wow, that meeting. as long as this conversation about analytics isn't dumb.
But we totally missed the punchline, Garrick.
Did I?
Yeah, we're losing you.
Yeah, you're dropping.
No, went totally silent during the punchline. That's why there was no.
Yeah, it was
no laughter.
Well, yeah, there was no uproarious laughter.
Even better. I'm better.
All right.
Fill in your own joke here.
But here's the point. Here's the point. And the reason my head is there, when we were at that Visi Vision 2008, and there was the group that did the closed loop CRM discussion or presentation, which didn't go where I thought it was going to go. Yeah, I know. Stop snoring, please. And but here's why. Here's what's going on. There's one set of leaders who look at social media and say, or ask the question, how can I harvest this? How can I blast my message out where every possible customer and prospect touch point is? Okay, that's one school of thought. The other school of thought is, how do I get into the conversation? And they're two very, very different approaches, but both approaches require tools to be able to figure out who's talking and where are the conversations and what's going on and how can I get into it without, you know, doing something inappropriate or angering people or turning them against me or my brand or whatever. And that's kind of where I was coming from when I started to talk about, hey, maybe we can chat about CRM and tools.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But did Pulver go there? I mean, did he talk about any of that?
No. Jeff really didn't have a big presentation. It was just, it was conversation for him, and that was really as far as it went.
Okay.
But since you're on the topic of tools and you're passionate about it, especially at this point, you know, doing all this research, and I also noted in that response to your email that, you know, I'm doing the same thing. I'm preparing a presentation for broadcasters on social media and how they can harness it and you know, really basically enter the conversation. And we're talking about a group of people that really is really good at talking, not necessarily great about listening. So
yeah,
it'll be really interesting to see. So and of course, from the corporate side, as corporate as radio has become, it is, you know, very much a ROI sort of concept. So a monitoring or a measurement tool is going to be important to them as well. So it's clearly a topic that holds some interest for me, but I don't know. It's not exactly the spicy conversation you want to have, but I think it's a necessary one.
Well, I went off and I'm doing due diligence on tools. That's kind of why my head is where it is. And I've gone through a presentation from Collective Intellect, this group in Boulder, Colorado, that has a tool that they've got all sorts of patented algorithms, but this tool goes out and it looks at and measures sentiment and who's talking about what and where the brand mentions and all these sorts of things. And you can drill and get into some very granular detail about it. And I just find that fascinating. I find that capability to know where who's talking and who's talking about what. And, you know, if I'm coming out with something completely new, wouldn't it be nice to know if people are talking about that topic without knowing about any solutions? And, oh, by the way, I happen to have one coming, or I happen to have one that people aren't aware of. And Radiant 6 is another one. I've also stumbled across Google Analytics plugins for Firefox that allow you to do a lot of different analysis. I'm trying to build start pages right now with feeds from Surmise or from Twitter search and so forth, to try to figure out how do you get a handle on this? What's out there?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've been looking for, Steve, is the ability to present Google Analytics data, you know, outside of the Google Analytics interface. You know, you have to log in order to see all that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you find anything that's like that? Sort of the idea of taking a feed and putting it on a page someplace else?
I haven't gotten too deep into Google Analytics because I've been looking at the actual commercial tools that are available. Mm-hmm. Because I'm working with a company and I'm also working with their PR agency. And so I'm looking at tools that they can use that also extend what they're already doing. So that's why I'm kind of leaning toward the commercial stuff right now. But I'm collating all the Google Analytics stuff into a Google notebook. So I'll put some of this stuff in the show notes. There's some high level stuff that's pretty interesting. And maybe you and I together, we could kind of dig into some of this stuff because it's a need. I mean, it really is.
Absolutely. And one of the things that, you know, for the customers I work with, we're not as deep pocketed as yours. So, you know, we're not looking at the commercial solutions all the time,
right?
It's just because of sheer cost, and there's a lot of free stuff out there or really low cost stuff in the metrics area. So how does what you see in the commercial space compare with what's already out there kind of in the Google Analytics and other free area?
Well, let me say it this way. Is that there's significant depth to the commercial offerings that allow you to, for example, to say, you know, here are the top 100 bloggers that are influencers in our space. Here are the bulletin board or the forums or community sites that are important. Here are the, you know, so you can identify the segments. And then these different offerings can then analyze what's going on. So you do, you know, keywords, and you do, you know, various sorts of advanced search. And so it can create a watch list, and then you can get email digests. You can create reports with nice fancy charts and graphs. And so there's a lot more depth and it's a lot more high level on the free side. But I don't know if you guys have looked at two things that I've come across that I knew about in the back of my mind, but didn't really dig into until I kind of got into this. One is Ping.fm. Ping.fm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I use that.
Yeah. Oh, you do. So you can update all your stuff fell swoop. Okay. And the other one is Tube Mogul.
Yeah. No, I use that too.
Oh, you do. All right. Yep. All right. So I'm late to the party.
Well, no, it's Tube Mogul. I just got into it for one of my clients over the last month, and I've been talking with those guys, and they've got a very interesting business model that I can't quite 100% figure out, quite frankly, because they give you in their free account quite a bit of the value of what Tube Mogul is.
Well, and the thing I like about it is, I mean, just imagine you do a promotional video or you do a video and you want to be able to track not only how many views, because that's easy, but also who's embedded it and how many views have come from that spot where it's been embedded.
Mm-hmm. Am I having deja vu?
From
anyone
what?
Else having deja vu?
No.
In what way?
That exact phrase that Steve just said. No one else has heard those exact words from Steve before? Might just be me. Okay.
Well, okay. Go ahead. Come on.
Which word? I'm not being snarky.
You put it on the tee. Send it on down the fairway. What do you mean?
No. I'm being serious. I feel like we've had this exact conversation before.
Really?
About tracking video embeddings and impressions. And I'm trying to and if the deja vu goes the way that it does, things turn out very, very badly for me. So I'm just gonna. A little hesitant right now, I gotta tell you.
No, I don't remember us touching on the topic before, and okay. But that's okay. I could have nodded off. There's no doubt about that.
Well, getting back to Tube Mogul, we probably should say, Steve, what this thing is, right? Since we're assuming that everybody knows what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So basically, it's an aggregator of all the video sharing sites, the YouTubes, Vidlers, Vimeos of the world, into a single interface that you can upload your content, video content once, tag it, do all the stuff you would do to put the metadata along with it. And then you can launch close to 20 services if you buy their full-on business service. But the free one, I think there's got to be 8 or 10 of the top services that are accessible there. So it's really handy to manage video content and to get all of the metrics back from those services across one interface. So it's a great dashboard kind of application.
Yeah.
Using multiple video places, the communities that are at those specific places?
Yeah. So I think that, for what I'm trying to do is we're trying to present the video of the winery in its best form on the winery's website. So YouTube is not the best quality. Plus it's got YouTube branding on it. So we're going to probably, we're going to definitely use one of the other services to get better quality for their use, but the community is at YouTube. So you want to have your content there as well.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that they did, I mean, you've heard about Flash Player 10 and the ability to serve up metadata and have that be searchable and so on, because that's always been one of the slams about Flash containers. But
I have?
Yeah. But Tube Mogul bought a company called Illuminex, and I haven't really dug into this too much, but their entire value proposition is analytics of what happens inside of a Flash container. And so when I read that, I thought, oh, I get it. So imagine Sprout Builder or any other organization or company that has, sprites inside of a Flash container and people are interacting with it and clicking on it and so forth. They'll be able to do analytics on exactly what people are doing within the Flash container. So it's not just video, it's also interactive flash.
I was going to say that's called engagement, you know, measuring engagement.
Exactly.
Consumer engagement with a given media asset. Yep.
Well, and the one thing, you know, Tim, you asked me about the commercial versus the open, and I absolutely believe that Google Analytics is going to continue to accelerate as a free offering in terms of what's available and so on. I mean, when you think about Friend Connect, the ability to put all those little social widgets or gadgets on any website or blog that Google just came out with, mm-hmm. Well, you're going to want to wrap analytics around that, right? So doesn't it make sense that they'll extend that? But then also, you had sent something, Graham, about that enterprise micro-sharing tools comparison that yes. Laura Fitton had done at Pistachio Consulting, and I'll put a link in the show notes as well. But, you know, when you add to that, wouldn't it be great if somebody would look at, what is Graham Thickens doing, looking at it almost like an analytical friend feed. You know, where's he leaving digital breadcrumbs and how much engagement is he doing and how much is he on?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I missed the value proposition for that.
Well, it's,
yeah.
You're just yanking my chain or?
For just Graham self or for anybody?
Yeah.
That's what I was
talking about. No, well, so this coincides with an idea I had about, if I wanted to, if I had an opportunity that I think Graham would be interested in, say a project or a client or something that would be ongoing revenue for him. Absolutely. If I wanted to strengthen a relationship with Graham, absolutely. Like, where is Graham? What's the best way to find him? What's he interested in? Like, how do I get to know Graham to make sure he's the right person to talk to, and what's the best way to introduce myself? Right. Absolutely, I can see the mechanism that you described, Steve, supporting that. If I want to buy him, if my entire goal is just to have him switch toilet paper brands, it doesn't seem like the right mechanism.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Unless he's a huge fan of that category and is really into softness.
I am, baby. No, I was going to say for finding bloggers, for companies to find, and connect with bloggers that can help them spread their message, it would be a wonderful tool, which, you were alluding to a little earlier, Steve.
That, yeah.
Some of the enterprise tools are, certainly focused in the area of communications and PR.
Let me ask yeah. this, and not to screw with any of our livelihoods here. But is there a chance that we're going to start, analyzing and tearing apart and digging into this and using it for marketing and manipulation to the point where we're going to basically break the system that is starting to organically grow this social communication, this concept of being social online? Is there a chance that we could screw it up?
Well, I'll tell you, I sure hope not, and I think not, but I just became aware of something, actually, a discussion going on online that I think Laura Fitton at Pistachio Consulting was involved in. And in fact, she has a survey on her site that gets into people using automated responses to followers.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. And I wasn't even aware of this. I don't think I've been getting any automated stuff like that, but it can be carried to the extreme, and that's definitely gonna turn some people off. But she had a survey on her site asking about, to what degree would you accept something like this? Like, could someone just thank you for following them? Would you accept that as a usage of an automated,
I think it's all going to depend on the expectation again. And I think it comes down to that what is the expectation of the service? If I am responding, if I'm filling out a form, that's obviously a form that I'm going to submit, and I get something back that says, thanks, your form has been submitted. I don't have a problem with that. But if I say, if I'm going to, follow somebody on Twitter, which Twitter to me is a little bit more, depending on what who I follow, the expectation is to be a little bit more personal. I would not necessarily be crazy about getting an automated response.
Well, you know, and but here's the thing. The reason I don't think that's going to happen is there when something happens, there's almost now an immediate backlash if people don't like it. And of course, the biggest famous example right at this snapshot in time is the Motrin Mom campaign that J&J did, where they did that video of moms and why you should take Motrin if you're carrying around that thing, which is the baby in the carrier. Yeah, but there was such a crap storm that hit the Twitter sphere that they immediately did a backpedaling. And so I think that's what's going to end up being the norm.
You mean a self-regulated, a self-controlled sort of thing?
Yeah, because I mean, if you're going to do anything online, you're going to get immediate feedback. You're going to know exactly, and you're going to be able to look at other case studies and examples of others who have stubbed their toe or done something incorrectly and so on. And it's going to help companies understand really how to treat people in a conversational marketing way.
So I think there's a couple of things here. One is that from the information I have, that Motrin thing was never released on TV, only online, and it was released back in September. Right? So what took it, if it was this controversial, what took it 8 weeks to reach this threshold? And two, I wonder if, you know, are those people that were offended, I count myself as one of them, significant enough to actually impact sales? Because at this point, I have never seen that brand name plastered in so many places in my spheres online, right? So it's got so much free advertising out of it.
Right. Yeah, there's no such thing as bad advertising, right? I mean, it's...
Every proper noun is an ad.
You got to wonder, though. I mean, maybe it's a conspiracy theorist in me, but was that the whole intention of the ad? Because if you look at the ad, you think, well, you could say, well, that was ill-advised. Yeah, it was just freaking stupid. So you've got to wonder if it was a planned viral campaign.
Exactly. Well, I think you have to have an edge, particularly to rise above the noise these days. And sometimes it works, like what Stormhook did on the wine side. But that could have just as easily have gone, you know, the wrong way. But it's how that is managed by the advertiser, by the marketer, is, you know, how they respond is everything. And that's where I think that Motrin kind of fell down, is they didn't appear to have a plan in place to how they're going to respond if things went poorly. And then it just snowballed from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they had a lot of influencers. There was my favorite quote was from this woman named Jessica Gottlieb, who's got 1,000 followers on Twitter. And she says, "I'm a satirist. I get humor. I talk about my vagina on my blog." She said, I'm just insulted. I'm not an activist. I don't have an agenda, but I do have children." And so when you think about people that are influencers, and this other woman that has over 4,000 followers, you know, it doesn't take much for a message like that to get out. In fact, one of the things that I find just absolutely fascinating is Tim O'Reilly, and I don't know if you guys follow him, the publisher, but he almost always retweets. So he'll get something and have a link in it, and he'll retweet it. Mm-hmm. And so I follow him, and I would say 75% of the time I'm clicking on the link to see what he linked to. I mean, it's just that I'm getting that much value out of following him. And, you know, there are a lot of people I follow that I don't get that kind of value out of. And so if Tim O'Reilly went berserk over something and it was totally out of character for him, I would look at that and say that this is something very, very important, and I'm going to see what's up. And so, you know, getting back to the tools and the analytics and all of that, you know, regardless of what space that you're going into, you know, like I have this client now that it's going into a space where they're, it's not traditional thought leaders and influencers, and it's a little more challenging to identify who are the right people, where are people collecting in a affinity group. Are they social bookmarking, for example? You know, are they using a collect? Are they using a delicious whatever? You know, are they actually doing it, having any of these behaviors, or are they just blogging? And it's important to understand and to know who's doing what. And so far, it's been really hard to figure out where to go to connect with people, especially if you have something that's completely new, or you have a completely new approach. And all these people are looking for better ways. You know, you're always, at least most of us are always trying to optimize what we're doing. And if you can be there where people are having the discussion about what's next, or they're pushing against the membrane of the future, they're trying to figure something else out to optimize a solution or make it more efficient. If you can be there and expose what you have to them, then, you know, in theory, it's going to spark conversation about what you're doing. And I just think it's just far too hard. I mean, you know, imagine marketers that used to say, well, great, we'll just make an ad buy on the three networks and we'll stick it in Life magazine and call it a day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Mad Men.
Yeah.
And we were.
Well, I was going to bring the point up. So Garrick, go ahead.
So yesterday I did one small tweet about how I was going to watch an episode of Mad Men with a martini, but it didn't turn out. The martini didn't turn out. And suddenly I'm followed by all the Mad Men characters on Twitter.
Ooh, no. Yeah, bad.
Yeah, I didn't mention anything about Mad Men. They just started following me and sending me direct messages, which... it took me a while to figure out that they were actually, you know, just characters from a show I don't watch.
No, yeah. See, that's I don't like stuff like that.
It seemed intrusive, you know.
That's that part I was saying. There's a chance that we could blow this, and that's the sort of thing that will blow it, because all of a sudden you've crossed over from engaging in the conversation to pimping. You know, basically that's all you're doing.
Well, do you remember? Well, you remember the Lonely Girl controversy on YouTube when everyone discovered that she was an actress, at the end of the day, I don't think it's a good idea to have an entire space feel punked. You know, I mean, just to think, hey, they pulled one over on me. Now you go into everything else with a level of distrust. And that, so far, I haven't had that with Twitter. But that Mad Men example, Tim, that's how that feels.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But I think that could even be used in a way that makes sense. It just felt wrong that the first thing you get from these people that start to follow you and you follow them back, and the first thing you get is, you know, something that if I watched the show, I probably would get, but it was just seemed a little weird, you know?
Yeah.
Garrick, just out of curiosity, Garrick, how long did it take for them to start following you?
It was less than an hour, which makes me think they were tracking the Samai stuff and doing an
automated follow.
I wonder if I typed it into my Twitter, right? Just typed in the words Mad Men, if it would, I would get picked up. Was that one word? Is that one word or two?
I put a space there. You can do your Twitter hacking. Yeah. If you want to test this. Yeah.
Okay.
And the amusing thing is it was at my fake account. So, that was,
you mean fake Garrick?
Fake Garrick Burr. That's what I thought too. Fake Garrick Van Buren.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of being punked, I feel cheap and used.
You know, so do I, honest to God.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I hate that Garrick Van Buren. Damn that Garrick Van Buren.
Oh, man. Well, this is interesting. Well, you know, and it's I know, Phil, you wanted to kind of segue too today into just a discussion about where the Minovate Gang podcasts are going. And to that end, I also before that, would like to just spend a minute to talk about social features on Minovate and what that could be and what that could morph into as a site. I'm intrigued by what Google's done with Friend Connect, and I'm gonna look into those to see if there's anything there for us where we might be able to stick some of these features in there. If it makes any sense, but what do you guys think?
Anything that we can do to make, you know, Minovate more, you know, interactive, I think that's great because that's really what we're all about.
Right.
But yeah, Derek, you probably have some opinions on that too. So.
On using Google services for social features within Minovate?
Well, just any social features. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course I have opinions.
And they would be? How's that for a good host?
I'm trying to form a tweet in my head, something about sticking features places. So.
Okay.
It's not really coming through, so I'm a little distracted right now. Irony of that. I'm having a tough time with blogs right now. And while I agree there needs to be some more activity there, I'm not. There's something about the blog form itself that is very
2004.
Yeah, and there's something nice about that. There's something.
Oh, stop being so wired, for gosh sakes! Blogs are cool.
And actually, my concern is more about socials, finger bunny quotes, social features, social media. And that,
what was that finger bunny quotes? What was that?
It's hard to show over the audio.
Okay, so, you know, the kids are calling it air quotes, okay? So just go with that.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
Air quotes. I think that's curly. I think there's air quotes is curly. More about the social media. Like, I had a 2.5-hour conversation this week about how it's more valuable for comments to be in a reader's social group, a reader's audience and peer group, than it is to be at the publisher side. And I'm trying to wrap my head around that one. And I think it's very interesting. And that makes me think that it's actually, there's a less of a need, less of a value to put stuff on a publication, just more of a value to make sure that it gets pushed out. Right. So.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot is, I've been watching my own behavior in terms of updating, connecting the dots, my own blog, and the frequency of those updates has lessened. Just cause. But what I think about,
you too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, and I'm obviously using Twitter a lot more, and I'm monitoring 3 accounts now. Which, by the way, I just have to say again, this little Tweety application for the iPhone. God, I just love this.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
It's just, I mean, to be able to do multiple accounts, but at any rate,
I'm all over that.
Yeah. The biggest thing about Twitter is the value that's gone by. So sometimes if I'm not able to log on to Twitter for 4, 5, 6 hours, you know, I'm not necessarily going to go and look at every single message that's gone by over a period of time. Or what if I'm away from it for 2 or 3 days? And the beauty of a blog is the permalink and the ability to encapsulate a thought or a story or a, you know, somehow take a snapshot of something and put it into a post. And it's there. It's persistent. And Twitter feels ethereal, like, I remember sitting at an e-tech and there was an IRC back channel that was hysterically funny. And I don't know if you were, Graham, you and I were at this, I think we were at the same e-tech. And I found myself just laughing at some of the comments about who was presenting, but it wasn't captured. It wasn't anywhere. It was gone. And that's how Twitter feels sometimes to me. And that's the only thing that is perhaps just a hair disconcerting about microblogging is that sort of ethereal nature of it.
I completely agree. That's why, after all this,
go ahead, Gary.
grab.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've been talking about that recently at social media breakfast. I was talking with Mike Keller about that, about how it doesn't seem to really be archived. I mean, you can't go into the Wayback Machine and go get all this stuff, can you? And
no.
But then he sent me a link to some app, and I'm trying to find it right now, that is doing something like that, which, and I figured there must be somebody working on this to try to bring that, you know, persistence to Twitter, so it isn't just gone by forever, you know?
Well, and the I got into a whole discussion, and this is also why, Graham, OnePlace adding, you know, Twitter-like features to OnePlace collaboration is so critical. And the reason is, and Steve Kickert and I kind of talked about this a little bit, is the beauty of having this iPhone or really any smartphone at your side or in your pocket all the time is when the thought strikes you, you can do an input. Now, you still can't cut and paste and turn it into a tiny URL, which is frustrating, but so I can't really add URLs, but I can create inputs and drive those into, you know, do a hashtag about a project. And the thing that I love about hashtags is if somebody is talking about a topic, you can just hashtag it, and then that's an input, so that can be aggregated. And so no matter where you are, if I want to snap a picture and send that in as an input, or if I want to hopefully someday do video with this device and send a little snippet in, or record my voice and say some thought or talk about something and then send that in, you know, that has incredible power for, you know, the wisdom of the crowds and crowdsourcing and all of that. But at the same time, we're just not there yet. So all this wonderful value is out there. Like Tim O'Reilly's stuff, I bet you if you looked at Tim O'Reilly's last 100 tweets and just clicked on the links, you'd look at those and say, oh my gosh, there's just unbelievable thought leadership and value to all of these tangents that he went off on. And that's the only thing that really troubles me when I really get into this and think about it.
Yeah, so is Twitter and other micro messaging platforms the new aggregator then?
It's not an aggregator. It's almost
but you're
like
using it like an aggregator. You're using it like subscribing to O'Reilly's blog.
Yeah, I would, but there's no place that I can go. So let's say that I'll give you one example. So I'm on my iPhone. My dad's at the hospital. I'm sitting out in the lobby waiting for him. He's having a minor procedure. And I click on this link and it brings it up in the little browser built into, at that time, Twitter. And I read the article and I just said, oh my God, this is just fabulous. Well, then I was talking to somebody about the content of that article, but I all I remembered was Tim O'Reilly, and I clicked on a link. So I went to O'Reilly Radar and I went around and around and around. I finally ended up digging through his Twitter account, and I finally found it. Well, I mean, there's one example of, you know, maybe I could have direct messaged it to myself. I don't know, but that's one of those things where there's so much value that's just flying around, and sometimes you come across it, and it's difficult to put it anywhere. So especially if you've got a group of, you know, hundreds of people that are interested in a specific topic. So if it was social media analytics, and now all these thought leaders are hashtagging SMA as social media analytics, and everyone's talking about it and coming up with links and all of that, wouldn't it be great if there was a group somewhere of hashtags where you could go in and look at those and then have all that value, all those inputs from all those people in all those places coming into one central repository.
There is a technology, and it's called the favorite tweet that you can probably access from your iPhone. So when you see something like that, just favorite it.
Well, yeah, that works, you know, for us personally, but again, it doesn't drive it in. Well, you know what? Let's not bog down, because we'll get into the. I'll dig around and see if I can find something.
Well, then you could use Twitter feed to like feed that back in a different way with a hashtag if you wanted to, too. But
there are ways
you could do it that would be easy.
Okay.
I would think.
Okay. All right. Well, what about the podcast and directions of that, Phil? Did you want to?
I want to go on the road. I want to go on the road.
All right.
Paris, what do you think, guys? Come on, let's go on the road.
Now that gas is below $2, we should maybe
Road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minivay gang road trip.
Well,
only three M&Ms for me.
I would just like to be able to, and I know the beauty of what we have here is we sit in the privacy of our own home with our jammies on a Saturday morning and a hot cup of Joe.
Speak for yourself.
But I would like to, you know, actually do the podcast from somewhere where we could actually maybe even set up an audience microphone where people could join in with us and chat a little bit, or do a live podcast or do a live broadcast. And you know, there are those services out there that we could take advantage of, like Blog Talk Radio or something like that, that would give us a chance to do a little interaction beyond just the two of us. But that's just me.
Yeah. That got it.
That'd be great. Well, maybe we can point towards, you know, Mini Bar in the spring. That would be an ideal place to do something like that.
You know, it would. Absolutely.
Yeah. And do a session. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Well, geez, that's like months away. That's February. Yeah, I want to go on the road now.
We're just blowing you off, Phil. That's all.
I don't know. One thing is, could open up the, the high def conferencing thing could open up the line to callers, to listeners.
I only have 20 or 30 possible lines.
do you really think we're going to top 20 or 30?
On a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think it would be fun just for us to get out and have a little more interaction and a little fun with our listeners. And feel free to write in and let us know where you'd like us to be. We'll come to your living room.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
You can demand us at Eventful.
Yeah.
You know, I had a chance to actually. I just had a chance to go to a house concert the other day. And I don't know if you've ever been to one of these things. It's just, it's a great time where, you know, a recording act will come into somebody's home and perform for a very small, intimate group of friends. It was a great time, but maybe we could do that. Maybe the Minivate, you know, gang podcast house concert.
You mean do like one of those lingerie home parties?
Oh, thank you for loading me up the image of you in lingerie, Steve. Thanks so much.
I'm a thong model part-time, so
just put years of therapy and you know.
That's right. All right. Well, on that happy note, let's call it a show. How about that?
You can't leave people with the image of you in lingerie. It's just not right. Well, listen, one last thing. And I was going through some of our past Google Docs, guys, thought of the concept of we talked about the mini, I believe it was labeled in our brainstorming as a mini social. I was talking to Rick Mon the other day about doing some sort of a workshop sometime, probably early in the year, make it an evening event. The one thing that I know about everything that we do in the social media space here in Minneapolis is we all, when we get together, I think we all get it. I think everybody understands it. There's always, an opportunity to learn more about it. And the many of the people that we meet with are practitioners of social media and vendors of social media services of some kind.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest challenge that a lot of us face, I think many people face, is what are the best ways to evangelize social media or to sell, to sell corporations, industry on adopting social media? And I thought it might be a real good opportunity to put together a workshop like that, whether we get some panelists and we talk about it, or we also, open it up to people to come in and do their quick, an Ignite type slide presentation of, here's how I'm selling social media. You guys have any interest in something like that?
You know, great interest, not Rick, but Doug Pillai and I have talked a little bit about that, about doing something like that. And Tim and you and I talked about doing something some time ago, some months ago. Mm-hmm. So A, the need is there. B, getting back to these analytics companies that I'm doing due diligence on, they would love to be in front of all these people. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would be convinced. Say, by the way, you know what I totally forgot? I'm so sorry about doing this right at the end, but you have seen that study that was sponsored by the MacArthur Foundation on digital youth research that was just released. I'm going to put links in the show notes, but it was a 3-year study by the University of Southern California and University of California, Berkeley, that came out with some really positive findings of how young people are engaged with new media, social media, and the, you know, the always on, always connected lifestyle. And it is really enlightening. And talk about a positive directional kind of thing as a body of information that I think our listeners would love to have their hands on. I don't know if you've seen that, the New York Times article on it and so on.
I haven't.
It was a real positive. Yeah. Yeah.
And when you say youth, what age range are you talking about?
From Finland. I don't know. I have to go through,
Look. Darn this Skype. What was that?
Yeah, that's right. Doggone it. Wait a second. One of the packets dropped. I'm sure it's millennials and maybe it goes a little bit lower than that. I'll find out. I'll look at the age range, but good. All right, gentlemen, this was a fun show. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good Saturday.
Hey, you too. Take care, guys.
Out.
Bye.